Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you're all right, wherever you are in the world. This is Shai, and today I'm with Chad from the UK. And Chad Mannion will tell us what it's like to be an activist, what it's like to be a lion, and what it's like to do the things properly so they work. And then those who pretend to be lions at the government start to be afraid from you. So Chad will tell us at least the beginning of a story about what happened in the last few months in the UK and how they managed to push back these bloody bastards who are trying to take over our life. So please share this broadcast. I promise you it's going to be really interesting. And the main thing in this broadcast is not that you will have another broadcast to look at or to learn some English with proper accent, not for me, obviously. But the main thing in this broadcast is for you to become activists here in Israel and start to bloody push back these Israeli criminals who are trying to take over our life. Again, please share this broadcast. Let's hit the road. Good luck, everyone. Thank you. Chad, my man, how are you doing?
Hi, Shai. How's it going? Hope you guys are doing well.
thank you. It's twice in the same day already that we speak, and thank you for agreeing to do this live with me for the Israeli audience. You have no idea how important it is. I just give a really quick introduction, because what happened last Friday, I did a broadcast basically like a very short broadcast, and I told the Israeli audience that there is a plan that we can push back and win. Doing a copy pasting what you've done in the UK in the last few months, which obviously bears some fruits, and that's the reason why I would like you to tell the audience in Israel, but not just, I mean wherever people will watch it around the world, so you can tell them from firsthand how is it that you managed to produce these complaints in the Hammersmith police, the Metropolitan police, using some documents from international courts, as well as the local police station's complaints and the Hammersmith complaint, and the notice to the injection centers and the notices to the head principals of schools. And you're doing obviously some amazing work over in the UK, not to say it's finished, but obviously you've done some proper pushback on this bastard. So without further ado, I will let you do the talking. So let's just start with what have you done? I mean, how come you managed to push back just with documents, just with paper, just with, you know, writing stuff together, signing them and pushing them onto the police stations? What have you done to make it work?
Well, okay, so just to give you a wee background as to how the whole thing worked together. So I started on this journey approximately since the very beginning of lockdown. So we've been in this mess pandemic for about 2 years. I was lecturing at a university in Berlin when this whole thing kicked off. And coincidentally, I was teaching on a healthcare management course. And many of my students were doctors, nurses, GPs and healthcare people. I had to get the last flight out of Berlin to get back to, London. And while this whole thing was kicking off, I was hearing a very worrying story from my students. Many of them who were professionals, who were conscripted to go and work in the European health sector, were telling me a different story to what I was hearing. For example, they were saying, they've been made to sign non-disclosure agreements, but the hospitals are empty, while the newspapers are reporting a completely different fabrication. So I had this feeling, what's going on? Is this one big scam? It's all a bit of a lie. So that was my introduction into this whole scamdemic, as it were, because I was hearing a completely different story from ground zero. So that meant, you know, I couldn't just sit there quietly and let that happen. But it wasn't just my students in Germany who were saying this. My friends who were doctors and GPs in the UK were telling me almost the same thing, that there's now a completely different truth to the lie that's being told by the media. So I became an activist and I went to Hyde Park on my very first, you know, protest march. And I saw the very wicked and brutal way in which the police were handling people who were speaking out, just because people were exercising their right to free speech in a democracy, they were getting arrested. And I couldn't believe it. Yeah. And a month later, the very large protest at Trafalgar Square and Hyde Park, where, you know, I witnessed police brutality, that made me wonder and question, are we in a third world nation? I mean, when did it become, you know, possible for people to get arrested for speaking at Hyde Park? We have a very long tradition, centuries old, you know, a place called Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park, where men were always given, you know, the right to speak their minds on any topic. You could not be arrested for speaking out. But the German doctor, Heiko Schoening, who, along with thousands of other medical experts, doctors and lawyers for truth and disclosure, who spoke at Speaker's Corner, he got arrested in front of our eyes.
Right.
And that immediately meant for us that democracy is over and it's dead unless we stand up and do something about it. So that's how, you know, it started for us for the last couple of years. But recently, I, you know, 6 months ago, since July last year, began to go around.
Sorry, Chad, can you just tilt your camera a bit up? So, because your face is a bit too down. Like, yeah, okay. That's better. That's better.
Is that a little bit better?
Yeah.
So 6 months ago, I met a few other activists, human rights activists, who decided to look into, you know, making a legal challenge to this. And after the brutality I witnessed in Trafalgar Square, I saw how elderly people were getting beaten and slammed on the ground. You know, helpless, innocent people were getting manhandled in a very aggressive manner. And I thought, this is no longer Trafalgar Square, it's like Tiananmen Square. So we wrote to the police, we complained, we started to write letters. And then we found that that wasn't enough. When you complain and make legal challenges in the court system we had, there's a huge problem, because the courts, to an extent, we found, were also complicit, because you have all of the agents of the state, which is the government, the police, the court system, the authorities. So who do you complain to when the people who are supposed to be on your side are actually your oppressors? Who can you complain to when the people you've trusted and entrusted your freedoms to are the ones who are oppressing and violating you? So from this point on, I met a number of people. Of the 70,000 people in Trafalgar Square, I met people who'd become my very best of friends. And they were scholars and other intellectuals who were looking into something called the common law. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've studied your history of law, you come to realize that the constitution of most civilized, most advanced Western nations, the US, America, Australia, Canada, Israel, South Africa, Britain, they were all commonwealth, which was based on common law. Common law is essentially a term which was coined by King Henry close to over 1,000 years, when he was in the Battle of Agincourt. He made a statement in France saying, once I return to England, I'd like the law to apply commonly throughout the realm. And that was the beginning of what people began to refer to as common law. And it goes back to the history of the Magna Carta, which is the basis of the American Constitution, the Israeli Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. It all goes back to the idea that no man, whoever he is, however high or low born, beggar or king, no man is above the law, and no man is beyond the law, and no man shall ever be deprived of their life, liberty, or property without due process. So when we looked at this, we finally had a moment where we said, okay, hang on, all of the legal systems in England are based on this principle of equity of righteousness. The constitution mm-hmm. and the law of the land always go back to the, you know, the rights of the common man. Nobody can get away with oppressing another human being. So the more we looked into this, the more we found that the law that we believe applies as the legal system is not the true law. Legality and the difference between what is legal and what is lawful, there's mm-hmm. a huge difference. And that's what started us. And we found that when we look through their system and we try to use their system, it doesn't work, because this system, legal system of the world, is actually designed to confuse and deprive human beings of their natural inalienable rights. If you want to know what true law was, we, you know, did some research and we found that the first statute, the first actual constitution, is the divine law. You know, Moses and the Ten Commandments is the basis of human rights, because the human being is a divine being and a sovereign being under Creator. So no one can deprive a natural human being of their rights. And there's a concept in law called inalienable rights, or unalienable rights. And it goes back in history to the greatest trick that was ever pulled by the Vatican, which declared in 1302 that all of the land of the earth is a boat floating on the, is a vessel floating on the sea, Holy See of the Vatican, which gives them jurisdiction over the lives, the souls, and the property of all people. And in 1666 in England, there was an act, Testamentary Trust Act, called Sesta Quivi, which declared all the living men of the empire, British Empire, to be dead, lost at sea vessels, and maritime law. So most of the legal systems that are used by the oppressors to oppress the people are based on a very ancient Babylonian, what we call it, the demon law, which is, it's not part of law. It's not anything legitimate. It's not part of a lawful system. It's a legal system created to oppress human beings, to turn a living sovereign human being into a corporate fiction, a piece of paper. Now, one of my friends in the movement always asks, why do you need a piece of paper to know that you are sovereign and have rights? This is the greatest trick that was pulled. So when we understood this, it switched the game. So 6 months ago, I figured I was onto a good idea. So I traveled across the country training people in the common law and helping people realize their true sovereignty and their inalienable rights. And this gave us a chance to fight them on a different level, because we started to question the legitimacy of their courts, the legitimacy of their polices. And once we decided that the concept of true jurisdiction comes back to the rights of the common man, we found a way to beat them. So we started to write documents, lawful notices that we started to serve, which meant we had now a chance to fight them. So just by writing notices, we started to serve notices on the schools. We served every school in the country in a few months. And we also started to challenge them in courts, and we started to defeat them in their own court system. So I went to courts in the UK to help, you know, friends of mine. And eventually we ended up with 38-0, 38 straight wins as of today. Not one single case in court lost, and we've beaten them. We've taken guys out of police stations, got people who were being held against their will, got people who were being sectioned unlawfully out of quarantine hotels. We started to get people out of police stations, get children back in safe custody of their parents. So when we knew that this is all a scam and a lie, they don't have any legitimate power.
Sorry, you won 38 cases in court, but on top of that, the notices that you've sent to schools also helped to stop the injections in schools, right?
So we stopped the injections in many schools. We also shut down 7 to 8 vaccine centers across the country. So looks like we've become unstoppable, because we've understood what the true law is. And I keep mm-hmm. saying this to people, regardless of what, you know, a piece of paper any illegitimate evil government agent shows you, when you know the truth, because this whole system is based on a lie. The power that these guys have over us is based on only two things: fear through coercion and manipulation based on a lie through the media power. They use their fake media to create propaganda, to fearmonger people, to scare people into complying. And they use the threat of fines, arrests, and death, you know, to bully people into submission. However, their entire system is a lie and based on a lie. No matter how powerful your or efficient your court system, how intimidating your police, when your entire legitimacy or claim to legitimacy is based on a lie, it's like you building a tall castle on quicksand. It will always collapse in the end, because the truth is like a weed that will continue to grow under your feet. So we who believe and know what the truth is, we refuse to be intimidated. We will not be backed down. The same way we've stopped the vaccinations in many places, in schools, in colleges. We've also currently, the notices that we've written and served ended up in forcing two government officials to resign, forcing police officers, senior police officers to resign. And also, we've stopped, as of today, the UK has withdrawn their mandatory vaccination policy for NHS. So we've won some of the biggest victories.
Excellent. And this was obviously just the beginning, because
it's just the beginning.
On top of that, you've done some amazing things just recently using the complaint was served in The Hague, right? Uh-huh. And then you served also a complaint in Hammersmith. But this was obviously after many complaints were served in various police stations across the UK, right?
So, well, essentially, the genesis of the plot there is we had a law firm that also supported the campaign for truth. And because in our whole movement, we have thousands of people, doctors, nurses, lawyers, and ex-police officers, and lots of ex-military people, top professionals who knew it's a lie and who decided to stand for truth. They joined us, and you know, we've won the hearts and minds of many people in what we were doing. So the first thing that was put together was a case by a friend of ours called Hannah Rose, who's, you know, great comrade of the movement and an amazing activist, who put a case file together and submitted it to the International Criminal Court of Justice in The Hague, which, again, it was very well documented, the assistance of some brilliant people put together all the legal papers, the evidence. Every case in law goes down to the strength of evidence, because in any law system, in any true system or justice system, criminal justice system, law goes down to evidence. It all comes back to the strength of evidence, the quality of proof. So once you have something called the burden of proof in law, you have all of the evidence, and the evidence clearly gives you on, you know, if it's civil law, balance of probabilities. On criminal law, it's beyond reasonable doubt. If your evidence can prove your claim, it means you were, you know, telling the truth. And once that is decided by a jury, it's done. So Hannah Rose's case in the International Court of Justice in The Hague managed to get acknowledged, and the reference number was given that it's being investigated and it's being pursued at the highest level. Once you have an international criminal case being handled at the highest level and you've got serious authorities supporting you, that is the start of something. So we use that number, and we've also got...
By the way, Chad, sorry, are you a lawyer?
Well, I'm not exactly a lawyer in this system, but I have studied and done a lot of research into the law.
All right. Mm-hmm. Go on, sorry. So, yeah. You're saying you use the number?
So we use the international criminal case number to also put together a case on a local level. And what we did was, many people who had actually suffered, death or injury or harm, they've seen their relatives degenerate because of the you know, vaccine side effects, the adverse effects. So we collected all the evidence through this yellow card system and various vaccine adverse effect recording system. We took all of that data, and we also had some lawyers and doctors and nurses helped put together all of the medical evidence. And we went to lodge as many small criminal complaints in regional areas. But eventually, we put everything together. A gentleman, a brilliant, amazing hero called Mark Sexton, who was a former police officer, he worked for the London Met Police. So he put a case together with the help of Dr. Mike Yeadon, and had actually suffered. They also helped file the complaint, and we put it into one case, and it was submitted through the Hammersmith Police, which later their CID Criminal Investigation Division got involved, and they gave us a crime reference number. A police case. So we used the Hague and the Hammersmith CID number to also bring as many whistleblowers and as many victims forward. And they were willing to, you know, stand up and give their evidence and give their testimonial and the death certificate. So now we know if so many people have died because of one thing, it becomes a murder investigation, especially the claim is, you know, we're raising a complaint that people have been killed by this. So everybody who was responsible for pushing the vaccine, manipulating people to take it, or coercing and intimidating them to take the vaccine are all criminally liable for murder, manslaughter, criminal negligence, possible genocide. So we've served the police with a notice of obligation, notice of liability, that if they refuse to investigate, then they are also to be tried as criminals. Because when you deny someone justice in court, you're committing treason in the UK. If you're a police officer, you've taken an oath, a sworn oath, to perform a duty to the public. And if you don't fulfill that obligation, you're violating your oath, which means malfeasance of public office. And you are also committing the crime of treason because you have betrayed your oath. Yes. So we started to do this and serve this on all the police, and eventually so many people came forward to report a crime using quoting this crime reference number and the link that they gave us. So it became a huge case. And basically, you know, if it becomes a public, you know, comes into the public knowledge, regardless of what the media say, the cat is out of the bag. Now people know about this. So we took these, the Hague and this, and at the same time, Rainer Fulmix, Nuremberg Trial 2.0 was also gaining a lot of publicity online. So people knew about this. And also there's the common law, International Common Law Court, which was also based in The Hague, took on board all of the evidence that we put together. And they held the case, and they held a preliminary hearing. And they also issued statements and issued arrest warrants for people who are pushing the agenda. Because when you have evidence of people, so in common law, in true law, if there is a criminal offense, you have to have proof. So obviously, if somebody has committed a crime of murder, you have a victim. There's something in law called the habeas corpus. Where's the body? So we have so many death rates, so many people who've died. So death certificates and dead bodies do exist. So we know. And injuries and evidence of injuries also exist. So you have the habeas corpus, you have the body, you have a victim. So if you make a claim that there's injury or death, there's a victim. Who's the victim and where's the victim? We have so many documents to prove that. So they held a hearing and they said, well, there is a valid ground to investigate, and they issued arrest warrants. And a few days after this was issued, three members of government resigned and the vaccine policy was rolled back. They withdrew, and Boris Johnson, even the Prime Minister, he was apparently, they say, I mean, again, the mainstream media will never acknowledge this, any of this. Obviously, we know, but that's okay, because the truth is, guess what? The British government has withdrawn all of the COVID restrictions. The country is no longer locked down. All the public policy vaccine and mask mandates are all been lifted. even the mandatory jabs have been withdrawn, which means that they are scared. They know justice is coming. Yeah. So we took all of these four bits, and also the American Supreme Court has also made a judgment revoking the President Biden's vaccine mandate in America, which means that we are winning this war on every nation in Canada. So you see, freedom and truth, once people know, I mean, I am just one guy in Kent, in London, in England, in the middle of nowhere. Yes, I travel to London across. I'm nobody, yeah? But if I can train 1,000 people, I can basically, you know, go out using one small document with the case numbers of the four different cases available in one A4 piece of paper as a public notice, and go to a vaccine center or to a school. Serve another notice saying, there's a criminal investigation. There's a crime that's been investigated right now. It's to do with this policy of the vaccine and the vaccination. So if you are part of this, you are pushing this agenda, you are potentially a criminal suspect. You can continue with doing what you're doing and ignore us, but in which case you may be liable in the future for even more charges. Now you're not negligent, you are criminally liable, because you cannot say, I didn't know. We've told you, ignorance is not an excuse in law. So the old maxim in law, ignorantia juris non excusat, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yeah.
So you are not ignorant, you've been told, you chose to ignore the truth. Here is the statistics, so many people have died. So here's a criminal investigation, you are now a suspect of murder, and we post this. And we send it to them, and we just speak to them and hand this document. Just knowing that alone forces people to resign, shut down the vaccine centers, or stop. So
basically, you went with small groups of people,
three to four people.
You went with notices with small groups of people with a camera, and you went to a vaccination injection centers, right?
Yes,
and you gave them these notices. Mm-hmm. Saying exactly what you just said, that if they don't shut down, this is criminal activity has been taking place here.
It's a crime scene.
It's
now a crime scene, and all the vaccines are now evidence, potential exhibits in court. Simple. Wow. And you tell.
And how many? How many centers have shut down since then?
8 so far.
Wow.
Just
eight injection centers in the UK. You managed to shut down.
In four days. Eight centers in 4 days.
Brilliant. Brilliant, man. Wow. Wow. Okay. And the complaints that people filed, the complaints, they were what? They were against government officials, or they were also against doctors, hospitals, maybe against some media channels, because they were also obviously pushing the agenda and pushing these lethal injections, right?
Absolutely. So everybody who is liable, because you see, there's something in law called the chain of custody, chain of liability. So chain of causation in tort. Mm-hmm. So everybody who is liable, either as a principal or an agent. So there's somebody who's the first suspect, the main defendant. Then there are many who are witnesses, and then there are those who are complicit. So whoever came up with the idea to push the vaccines have a higher liability. Yeah. Those who follow it, because, you know, after the Second World War and the Holocaust ended, the Nazis who were on trial in Nuremberg, every single person who was part of this policy, even if they were saying I was just following orders, they said, well, you should have, you know, if you are a human being with a conscience, you ignored, you know, anybody who has reason, the reasonable capacity, was in a position to have known, should have known. If they were intelligent enough and they had access to information and they should have known better, they have a higher criminal liability. Those who didn't know, who were told a lie, or who were bullied into following orders, they have a slightly lower liability, but they will all face justice, because whatever happened, whatever role you played, you allowed evil to happen. Whether you promoted this or whether you encouraged people to do this, you are a criminal and you will stand trial and face justice. This is the point. So we list and name everyone, including the media.
Excellent. This is really excellent. Just a small thing to say, I don't know if you know, but even if you do, I'll say it again, but mostly for the audience.
Yeah.
In the Nuremberg trials, right, after the Second World War, there were only a handful of Nazis were actually trialed and found guilty, and they were hanged, I think. Yes. The majority of the criminals were free, and they were either in the U.S. after paperclip operation.
That's right.
Whether they spent couple of years in jail, and then they went back to, well, not back, but they went to their friends, to their colleagues in the UN and the World Health Organization and all these organizations were established back then. So we need to understand that even if we look at the Nuremberg trials as something that to look for, it's false. It was done just as a stage, on the world stage, to show here we trial the baddies. But obviously this time we won't let it happen as it did back then. We are going to trial them all.
Every single one of them. Because, you know, at the end of the Second World War, we started something, but we didn't finish it because most of the top scientists, the Nazi scientists, they went either to the Soviet Union or to America, to the West. America. They then, you know, CIA, they went to work, and the biggest criminals, when the actual criminals were never actually tried by Nuremberg, because, you know, people like Churchill, people like Roosevelt, and some of those people who were like, you know, Bill Gates' ancestors, his parents, they were never held, you know, accountable. People like George Soros, for instance, and various others who are, you know, now actively trying to push this agenda. Klaus Schwab, you know, you even had some SS officers. One of them, German guy, became the Pope. So these guys have never been held accountable. We need to stop because, you know, evil can never be allowed. Because what they did in the Second World War was for them a small practice. What they're doing to all humanity now, this is the real deal. It's about survival. You know, I'm not a person that, you know, wants to let anybody get hurt. This is not about revenge. It's about justice. It's about, you know, saving our children. It's fighting for our future. Sure. All of us, at the end of the day, we bleed red. We are human beings with a spirit. You know, we all have, you know, a conscience, a soul. We are here, you know, we just want to live our lives. But the problem is, if those who are in control will not allow us to live, they want us as either dead or slaves, as transhuman machines. We can't allow this. You know, that's why I've decided, whatever happens to me, you know, we have to serve justice. We need to make things right. We need to fix this world permanently. Otherwise, this evil will never stop. It'll come back, call itself another name, you know, call itself a Democrat or create another, you know, communist, or whatever name, it'll keep coming back. So we have to finish what was started. So no human being can ever be deprived of their life, of their dignity or liberty. People will have a right to their life, no matter what. And that's what our job is, Shai.
Excellent, child. So I just let me tell the audience here, what happened in the last few days is that a small group in Israel was formed. At the moment, there may be 15, 20 people in this group. And this morning we had few of us had this conversation with Chad just to understand what's the steps to follow. So first of all, I invite those of you who see this interview and hear it to join this work group in order to do the same or similar, in a similar way, what Chad and his mates were doing in the UK, to bring it over to Israel and to do it here and to file the complaints. So investigation would start. Investigation, this is a body harm or investigation for murder, okay? This is serious charges, obviously, and we know that it's a serious matter. And then we can start push back once we have the number here in Israel, the case number of an investigation that opened in the police station, then we can start really to push it forward and to see how they go back step by step until we take them down. Obviously, it's not, as you said this morning, Chad, we haven't won the battle yet or the war yet, but this is just a small battle or maybe of them that we are winning, and it's good because you're doing the right things, and this is totally, I agree with you totally. So I'm just calling here to my Israeli friends, if you'd like to be proactive, not just watch the show, but to be active. Please join or write me on my Telegram group, and I will, Aviva, one of the ladies there, she handles all these details, who is where and who and what and all this. So please write on my Telegram group that I would like to join. I would like to join the group, and we will sort it out that you will be a part of us. And at the moment, I can tell you that already we translated the Hammersmith Complaint. We translated the Texas. Also, please tell us about this in a second. What they file in Texas. We also translated the Hague, the complaint in Hague. So already things are moving, and we just need now to people to file complaints. Obviously, people who got hurt, and this we already on it as well. So this is the first step to file the complaints, and then. We move to step two, which is after we file the complaints, what we do then?
So step one is to file the complaints, get a complaint number. Once it is launched, you then also encourage people to file on the individual level civil lawsuits, take the doctors or the hospitals or the Knesset to court, because individuals who have suffered as a result, not just people who are the result of medical negligence, poisoning or bodily harm due to medical incompetence or medical malpractice, but you have to start suing them for economic harm, because some people have lost their jobs, they've lost their careers because of the lockdowns and COVID policies. So you sue the government for individually or collectively, class action, or you sue your employers, and you get more cases in court. So when you win a case in court, you set what we call judicial precedent. You set a precedent, which means all the other judges in future generations must follow. Once you win a case against them, they really start to get hit, and they'll rethink their policy. So step two is to civil cases as well, bring cases against them. Step three, you take the crime reference number and the case numbers of all of it. You create a public notice. And then you start writing notices, going to schools, vaccine centers, shutting them down. I can show you exactly how to shut down a jab center with a simple script we put together. If you guys are interested, once there's enough numbers, we can have another session this, and I will walk you through step by step how you go in and stop them.
Tell me, what's the time frame? I mean, let's say once the complaints have been filed, what's the time frame until you can write a notice?
Immediately. Don't waste any time. Not waste any time. And remember, every minute that you wait is possibly one more child or innocent human being that's murdered by this injection. We will try and save as many as we can. We won't waste any time. The minute you get the number, we hit the ground. We roll it.
Excellent. Chad, if you have anything else to add, this is great, please do. And if not, we can keep it as such, and we'll do maybe one more, maybe two more in the future once we make a progress, because otherwise it's just talking. And I would like my fellow Israelis to do, to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And I invite you listeners and viewers in Israel, please join this working group that we formed, so we can actually push back the way they've been doing in the UK so successfully. And thank you very much for showing the way, Chad, because we have our brothers and sisters from Canada showing us the way on this convoy. Yes. And there's convoys now forming all over the Western countries, where they suffer most of these criminal activities. And you, obviously, in the UK, showing us the way and how to do it in the legal side of things.
Yes.
So thank you ever so much for that, Chad. Again, if you have anything to add to that, please do. And if not, I say have a great day, mate.
Well, just before I go, I just want to, first of all, bottom of my heart, thank you, Shai, for all that you're trying, what you're doing. And hopefully, I'm like just one man, but somebody once told me the story, which I want to share with you before I leave. The power of light is when you light one single candle, it doesn't matter how dark that night was, one single candle can light up the whole night. And it takes one lit candle to light others. And it takes a few lit candles, a matchstick, to create a bonfire. Freedom and truth are like that bonfire. You light one, it'll create an entire forest fire that'll burn down the whole, jungle. So I stand with all of you guys in Israel, with all my heart. I hope and pray that you guys stand strong, no matter how difficult it seems today. We may have many months of hard fighting ahead of us, but remember, with a strong will, with all your heart, all your minds, if you guys continue the good work that we start doing today, even if it's a hard fight, we will get back our freedom and we will save our people. So I stand with you guys in peace, honor, and strength, and God stands with you. So thank you all, everybody.
Thank you very much, Chad. Thank you very much for showing us the way. God bless us all. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.